So my name is Dan. For those of you who don't know me, I'm the community pastor at Veritas and haven't really taught a whole lot, and so they're letting me preach a couple times at SALT. So I'm excited to do this for a second time with you guys. And over the last couple weeks, we heard from Ryan just about how we're supposed to set our minds on things above where Christ is seated, not on the things that are of earth, that are that our life is now hidden in Christ with God, and he's given us a new identity. Last week, Drake talked about putting to death what is earthly in us, the sin in our lives, and to put on the new self we are in Christ. Just to be honest with that, one of the things of putting on was do not lie, and so I just want to confess something to you guys. Last night, I was just really struggling in this passage, and we're going through Colossians 3 and submission, and so I was just really frustrated in my heart. I didn't really know what to say, and it was just cool how last night I did not want to give this sermon, but this morning and today, God's just renewed that in me, and I'm very excited to do this tonight with you guys. So Jesus has been redefining who we are and how we are to act once we have received Christ as our Savior. At this part of the letter, Paul is writing to the people of Colossae and is telling them how the Christian household is to act. Last week, it was about Christians interacting with each other and how they are supposed to, but this week, it's about the Christian household. In the society and culture of that day, the oldest male had supreme authority over the family. So he could be abusive, be harsh with his wife. He could even divorce her if he wanted. He even had the power, if there was a disobedient child, to put them to death. He had the power to just lord over all of his slaves, be very oppressive. And so Paul is speaking into this culture, and he's saying that now that you are in Christ, the household is supposed to be totally different. The relationships between husband and wives, parents, children, and the masters and slaves is going to be totally different. And so if you guys would turn to Colossians 3, we'll be starting in verse 18 and be reading through 4:1. In this short passage, it references in the Lord or something similar to it 7 times. I believe Paul is trying to stress that there is an importance that we need to look at everything in Christ's life and his teaching. A lot of the things that Christ talked about in his life and he demonstrated were submission, love, and obedience. And so I think that these are the three key things in this passage. The big idea is your identity. If your identity is in Jesus, submission transforms your relationships. We'll be going through 3 points. How culture has distorted our view of love and submission. Point 2 would be obedience leads us and others closer to Jesus. And point 3 is your actions reflect and affect your relationship with God. So, Colossians 3:18, starting in 18. Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Bondservants, obey in everything those who are your earthly masters, not by way of eye service as people pleasers, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. For the wrongdoer will be paid back for the wrong he has done, and there is no partiality. Masters, treat your bondservants justly and fairly, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. So point 1, culture has distorted our view of love and submission. How has culture done this? I want you guys to look to the person next to you and say to them the first word that comes to mind when you hear the word submit, submission. Submission is often viewed in our society today as weakness. The person is powerless. It's a blind obedience. It's discriminating, abusive, controlling, demeaning. This is what a lot of people view submission as, but there's a huge difference between the way that the world views submission and what biblical submission actually is. It's a willing submission. It's not forced or coerced submission. The definition of submission is to yield oneself to the authority or will of another, to surrender. Its origin actually comes from a military term, and it means a willingness to be subject to someone who has a higher rank than you. And so biblical submission is not meant to be forced on someone, but offered by his or her own free will in response to something, and mainly love. Submission is not just for the wife and her husband. God calls all of us to submit to each other. So in Ephesians 5:21, it says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. The first thing that you need to realize is that once you are a Christian, you're called to submit to one another. This isn't just about the wife to the husband or a child to a parent or a slave to a master. Everyone is called to submit to one another and ultimately to Christ. Why should we submit to Jesus? Let me read 1 Corinthians 5 to you. And starting in verse 14, it says, for Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore for all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. Because Jesus has shown us this great love, we are compelled to submit to him and to live for him. I believe that understanding the gospel, the love Jesus has for you, the debt he has paid for you, for your sins, understanding this should dissolve any pride or self-righteousness that you may have in your own heart, and will free you to see the beauty of submitting to him. What would this world look like if people would actually submit, that they would serve one another over having the desire to be right, to get our way? Maybe we don't agree with an authority, and so we try to defy it. But what would it look like if we actually lived this verse out? In Philippians 2, verse 3, it says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourself. Why is this so hard for us to do? In my own heart, I notice that I have pride, arrogance, selfishness. I'm worried about my own comfort. I can be stubborn. These are the main reasons why I believe it's hard for me to serve or consider others better than myself at all time. And the reason why I lack that, or when I'm lacking that, is because I'm losing sight of Jesus and what he has done for me, and you know, just his love for me and how that should compel me to show that same love to others. So submission is kind of out of whack in the world we live in right now. What about love? How does culture view love around us? Same thing. Look to someone. When you hear the word love, what's the first thing you think of? Culture, in my opinion, seems to make love to be about sex, lust, attraction, personal happiness, whatever feels right for you. A lack of a lifelong commitment if you fall out of love with someone. The love that this is talking about, for a husband should love his wife, is not even close to any of that. It comes from the word agape, which is a sacrificial love, which is the same word that Christ uses as he loves us and gave himself for us. And so Christ demonstrated agape love for us. He sacrificed all. So when we read this verse, we should be reading it as husbands are to sacrificially love their wives and not be harsh with them. And we can say, like, what does that mean to be sacrificial in our love? In Ephesians 5, Paul kind of explains, it's kind of a parallel passage where they say similar things, they're talking about the same thing, but he expands a little bit more. He talks about how husbands are supposed to lay down their lives for their wife as Christ did for the church. They are to love her and to serve her as Christ does the church. You are to love your wife as you do your own body, meaning you need to put her needs first, sacrifice, nourish, and provide for her. I've heard it said growing up, my mom used to say it all the time, that love is doing what's best for the other person, regardless of the cost to yourself. And no one showed us a better example of that than Jesus. It came at a great cost to him to love us. He humbled himself. He gave up his throne in heaven for a time. He came and served the creation he created. He died for your sin. He gave up everything for you. He did not force you to submit or try to control you, but emptied himself and showed you how to live, and he has given you new life if you believe in him. You know, if we truly understand Christ's sacrificial love, by God's grace, our hearts should not be hardened to him. We should be able to see him as beautiful. We should be compelled to submit and to love him and to love those around us. If a husband would love his wife like Christ did for the church, the wife would be able to submit to him in everything because she knows that he has her best intentions in mind, and it's not about selfish gain, and she would be able to respect and honor him and submit to him because he has her best interests in mind. And ladies, just want to say that don't settle for a guy. Find a guy when you get married that is going to love Jesus first and love you and serve you in that way. There's a quote that I found online that said, "Love is giving up control. It's surrendering the desire to control the other person. The two, love and controlling power over the other person, are mutually exclusive. If we are serious about loving someone, we have to surrender all the desires within us to manipulate the relationship." So marriage was designed and ordained by God. It's supposed to be a reflection of just God and himself with Jesus. Just the picture of marriage is a great mystery. In marriage, God has placed the man over the wife. In Ephesians 5, it also talks about how the man is the head of the house, just as Christ is the head of the church. And so God has placed the man in authority. It's not that they're not any less equal than each other. It's just that there are different levels of authority that God gives and ordains, and he does that in marriage. So because of sin, though, marriage can be messy. I know in my life, in my marriage, I am imperfect. I don't always love my wife in a sacrificial way. And so there are broken relationships everywhere, and I'm sure you guys know a few of them as well. But another just relationship that's broken in this time period that's outside of marriage is the relationship between the master and slave. God does not condone slavery. In brokenness, God still uses that to be able to show the people that are being oppressed, display his glory, and to show that they have hope in him. So this brings us to our second point. Obedience leads us and others closer to Jesus. Children and bondservants are called to obey in everything. Bondservants were people that had debt that they couldn't pay, and so sometimes they would just give themselves to serve someone until the debt was paid off. But also sometimes it was just people that were sold into slavery. They had no rights. In this letter, Paul treats slaves with dignity, though, which was very uncommon in that time. In no way does he condone the system of slavery. God did not ordain it, but it was imposed by the sinful nature of mankind. And so with that, the command that, or Paul's main concern, though, is that they obey their master regardless, and to obey them as if they were obeying Jesus Christ himself. This command to obey in everything is under the thought that parents or masters love and serve Jesus, that they would treat them with love, that they would be just and fair, that they would raise or train them in the way in which Christ-like character is to be lived out. So, some of you may have parents or people in authority over you that are not Christians. They don't believe in Jesus. How do you still honor and obey them while being obedient to God's word? Anything that they say that doesn't cause you to sin, you should obey. You should be willing to submit to them because God has made them your parents or has placed them in authority over you. And you know that ultimately you are submitting to God and honoring Jesus through that. We see in verse 20 that obedience pleases the Lord. Obedience to non-believing parents or bosses can show and lead them to Jesus. Be willing to humble yourself and to show Christ through your obedience to them. Why can obedience be so hard? There were times in my life when I didn't want to listen to my parents or I did not listen to them, and it came at great heartache to myself. I've had to apologize to them. As I referenced a few weeks ago, actually here at the University of Iowa, my junior year, I got arrested for a public intox, and my parents, you know, warned me about drinking and partying, but I just wouldn't listen to them. And so there's just been times in my life where I've just chose to rebel rather than listen to them and honor God through that. And so I guess the question is, have you guys disobeyed or done something that your parents have told you not to last night, last week, recently, that you feel compelled to tell them, confess to them, and ask for forgiveness? In my life, in the past, I've been a people pleaser as well, as we see in the passage, that I gave eye service to people. I was worried about what people thought, so when they were watching me, I was just doing stuff to seem busy or to seem like a hard worker, and then I would just, when they would turn away or leave, I just wouldn't do anything. I would slack off. And so, I don't know, does that sound familiar to you? Do you guys notice yourself doing anything like that? Also, I was a different person at church and around my family than I was with my friends. I would portray that I loved God in my heart to people, but my heart was far from him. So there's a couple verses with obedience that just helped me that I've memorized, a couple passages. The first one is Psalm 119, 9 through 16. It says, "How can a young man keep his way pure by living according to your word? I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Praise be to you, O Lord. Teach me your decrees. With my lips I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. I rejoice in following your statutes as one rejoices in great riches. I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word." Precepts, laws, decrees, all of that is just saying it's God's word that he's soaking up, that he's hiding it in his heart so that he doesn't sin against God. In James 1, 19 through 25, it says, "My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteous life that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word and does not do what it says is like a man who looks at himself in the mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what he has heard but in doing it, he will be blessed in what he does." In that part of it that says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves, do what it says. I was the person that would go to church, would put on a face, would act like I was soaking up God's word, but then would live a totally different life. I was not obedient to Christ. And so, in what ways do you guys see in your life that you pretend or act like you obey God's commands? I'm just going to throw out a few questions. Some of them may hit, some of them may not. Do you have an unrepentant or hidden sin in your life that you need to confess? Do you act differently when you're with your non-Christian friends than at Salt or with Christian friends? Are you willing to be obedient and listen to and submit to those in authority over you? Your parents, maybe it's a boss, a professor, a pastor, a connection group leader. Is pride, arrogance, or stubbornness stopping you from submitting to and obeying God's law? And in what areas is that in your life? Has culture affected your views on the truth of the Bible? I just read in a book today, actually, right before I came here, that 20% of Christians believe that the Bible is not absolute truth. And 40% of them think that the Bible has kind of 50-50 stuff where you can just choose what you want out of it and other stuff doesn't apply. So that means that there's about 60% of people, if this book is correct, saying that that God's word is not true. And so society and people are trying to discredit the Bible, and we need to fight back against that and know and seek God and see that it's true. Do you care more about what people think of you or about what God thinks of you? Unrepentant sin in our life causes separation with God, but confession and obedience is what draws us closer to him. And this brings us to our last point. Your actions reflect and affect your relationship with God. Understanding that the way you live, the actions you do each day are a direct reflection of your relationship with God. The way you live, the actions, the things you do each day are a direct reflection of your relationship with God. Our submission and obedience to him and his word is also a direct reflection of how much we love and trust his word. Just believing there is a God, that Jesus died for your sins, that you're a sinner, is not enough. That doesn't mean that you're a Christian. Even the demons believe there's a God and shudder. Just believing that there's a God or that he died for sins doesn't mean that you're a Christ follower. We see throughout Colossians that Jesus transforms every part of our lives. He makes us new. We're off with the old and we put on the new self. He commands us to be a new creation, to love him more than the things of the world. So what are one or two things that come to your mind, things that get in the way of your relationship with Jesus? Maybe it's an idol, just something that distracts you from seeing Jesus and just serving and loving him each day and obeying him. Put thought into this. Identify what is distracting you and get rid of it through Jesus. This will help you see the beauty of your relationship with him. And in verse 23 of Colossians 3, it says, "Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward." You are serving the Lord Christ. What is our inheritance? In 1 Peter 1, it says that blessed be the God of the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last day. So in closing, guys, one day, whether you realize it or not, we will be either in God's presence or separated from him. We can either be worshiping him for all eternity, or we will just be separated and not in his presence. Seeing him in all of his glory and majesty.